Everyone, we're glad to have you that are visiting with us this morning. Delighted to see you, and we want you to come back every opportunity that you have. Appreciate everybody being here today to study and to worship the Word of God and to worship the one who indeed has spoken. And we want this morning, as Stuart has read to us from Proverbs chapter 22, I think most of us are very concerned about training up our children. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a really marvelous statement. Train up. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. So that's what he's talking about. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, when I think of God's being with us and bringing our two children and training them. And then now I got 5 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. What a job. Training up, teaching them. I don't know what you were doing last Monday, but my grandson is here. Our grandson is here today, MJ. And he had got some tickets to go bowling. They had to have, I think, the most box tops from some kind of a contest. And they got 2 tickets. And so his mother had said to me, usually he'll come over on Monday, and said, well, you mind taking MJ over to bowl? Y'all like bowling? How many have been bowling lately? Well, when I was in college, I took bowling. I hadn't bowled very much, but some of you were bowling out here, remember? And I came over there, and you remember what happened about that. But anyway, here my grandson and I are over at the bowling alley in Huntsville, Alabama. And guess what? That was one of the highlights of my week. We got out there, and the question was asked, you want to put the bumpers up? You better believe we do. You want those bumpers up because you don't want that ball to go down in the gully all the time. But anyway, put it up there. And I want you to know something. Boy, MJ got a spare. I mean, I was so excited, thrilled to death. But one thing that he did, that after we got through, and by the way, we didn't even have to pay for the shoes because that went with the ticket. Now, boy, then we really were doing good. And he said, people, I sure did enjoy that. That's a highlight. And I did too. And he said, let's do it again. If I asked you this morning, what did you do with your children last week? That was the highlight of your week. What would you say? If I asked you grandparents, what would you say? What would you think of as one of the highlights of last week? We went over to Wendy's and you can get a kid's meal for $1.99 after 4 o'clock. Boy, I'd love to go by there after 4. Hate to pay the $3.99 before the 4. And we sat there and before we prayed, my grandson, I said, would you pray? And he said, yes. And he prayed, and he prayed for Nanny. And he prayed for his sister, Emily. I want to tell you something this morning. I love that boy and all my grandchildren. What an august responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. I want him to have good memories. I want him and all my grandchildren and great-grandchildren to remember an old man that loved God and loved God's people. In the matter of training children, am I doing what I am supposed to do? Some parents would have the eyesight of an eagle in detecting mistakes everywhere else, someone has said, and yet be blind as bats to the fatal errors which are daily going on in their own homes. Well, what kind of home do you have? If your children could articulate what they had to go through last week, what would they say? Training up a child. There are 4 things I want you to observe with me this morning from the Word of God. If you want to train your children correctly, train them in the way that they should go. That's what the Bible says. And not the way that they want to go. What is the most important thing about the child? It's his soul. Train with this thought continually before your eyes that the soul of your child is the first thing to be considered above everything. How long do you have him? I'll tell you as an older man whose children were with us, say 18 years and then they're gone. What will they do with their life? What kind of memory will they have? Train them. You train them. You train them to love God with all their hearts and minds. You remember there was a mother and a grandmother who had a son whose name was Timothy. Can you imagine? A good mother and a godly grandmother, and then to have a grandson. And one thing that said in the Scriptures about what they did for Timothy was that Timothy was taught the Scriptures. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Check out Psalms 119. 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Why not remember what God said in Psalms 119 and verse 11? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Or think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word. Teach them the word of God. And then let them pray. Remember, prayer is so important. Train them in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We're taught, pray without ceasing. The early disciples continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And Daniel was a man who was told not to pray, but three times in the day. Morning, noon, and night. The Bible says he engaged in prayer. Train them to have a joy where people pray together and worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I heard about this little boy who really liked to pray. And he had a brother. They were going to the grandparents' house. And at night, the grandparents got them together and they were praying. And the little boy was praying to God. God, I want a new bicycle. And he was really to the top of his voice saying, God, I want a new iPhone. Ah, God. And then the little brother said, why are you talking so loud? God's not deaf. And the little boy said, but Grandma is. He knew where Grandma is. God is so praying, teaching them to pray. But I ask you the question, can you say, I've heard Mother to pray? And when they're gone, oh, if I could only hear my mother pray again. You be a praying person. You teach and train your children how important it is to pray unto God. Number two, train your child with all tenderness, affection, and patience. I really want to dwell on that point. I know I get upset sometimes and say things I shouldn't say in a manner that I ought not say it. I have to ask God to forgive me and anybody that might say that. But I want to tell you something. It hurts children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, when you're really harsh with them. Just talk to them. Try to reason with them. Try to teach them. Tell them you love them. And don't the next verse or the next thought comes out of your mind, you're just so critical of them. They can't be encouraged. Don't you know God says you train your children? And don't get them to provoke, being provoked, lest they become discouraged. How can you please a mother and a daddy that a mother and a father are themselves cruel to a child? I found this somewhere and I thought it was pretty interesting. Fathers and mothers, do not forget that children learn more by the eye than they do by the ear. Daddy, I can hear you. Mama, I can hear you. Yes, let your light so shine before men, and that means your children. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter tells us that we have a perfect example in Jesus Christ. Let us make sure that our example before our children is right and good in the sight of God. There was a young man that was visiting with his brother and his sister-in-law and was surprised to find his young nephew, Timothy, helping them to bake cupcakes. In the kitchen with them, baking cupcakes. After they were done, his sister-in-law allowed Timothy to put the icing on the cupcakes. And when he had finished, he brought them to the table. I don't know about you, I'd want to probably question, what kind of cupcakes are these? Anyway, his uncle said, "Hey Tim, the cupcakes, they look delicious." And then he took a bite while looking at the other cupcakes. "Well, you know what, son? They really are good." He finished one and took another as he complimented his little nephew. He says, "You know what, Tim? The cupcakes look beautiful. How did you get them to be iced so evenly?" The young boy said to his nephew, "I licked them." I can just see that now. Those cupcakes. And they're looking so pretty. And he said, "I licked them." My friends, train up a child in the way he should go. Number three, train them to have a habit of always speaking the truth. Let them know truth is absolutely essential. And that's the best way to do that is for you fathers and mothers, grandmas and grandpas, don't ever lie. Speak the truth yourself. In Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Jesus said, John 8, verse 32, and you should know the truth. One thing that Jesus says over and over and over, you speak and live the truth. In John 17, in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. A lady had invited someone there to visit with him, and she prepared a dinner for him. And that evening, as they were ready to eat, she asked her 3-year-old daughter to say the blessing. You ever had that to happen? What's the little boy, little girl going to say? And her mother said, after the little girl said, who was a little shy, by the way, told her mom that she didn't know what to say. "Ah," Mama said, "just say what you've heard Mommy say." Here it is. So the youngster bowed her head and said, "Oh Lord, why did I invite these people to have supper with us?" Amen. Wow. Number four, as you train your children, continue to remember how God trains His children. I went back and I looked at a number of passages. Number one, here's what God says. God tells us in Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Not always easy, but it's a must. In the book of Proverbs 19, verse 18, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. You show him the right way. In Proverbs 22, verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Again, Proverbs 23, 13 through 14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. In Proverbs 29, 15 and 17, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. But a child left to himself disgraces even his mother. And notice in verse 17, discipline your child or son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. But, what's God saying? He said, the way I treat you, the way you are taught through my word, that's the attitude you ought to have. When you discipline your child, you love him. God loves us when we have to go through some kind of chastisement, and so it is with children, but you know how much God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And let it be with us, with the children that God has blessed us with. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, hear, O Israel. In other words, open up your ear. Oh, he says, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, all time. You know, we preachers have a big responsibility. These young men that are preaching, I have that great responsibility. When we stand in this pulpit and we exhort you and exhort you and try to get you and all of us to do what is right. When we get up here and we tell you, don't forsake the assembly, and then we do. When we tell people not to be late, and we're late almost all the time. What are we really saying? You do what I tell you, but don't do like I do. When there are people that you know in this congregation that you see them and you don't even speak to them. Huh? And you get up in the pulpit and we get up and we talk in classes and we tell people that you ought to be friendly. You ought to speak to one another. And they have trouble even getting you to speak to them when you pass by? It's like a father telling his child to do something and he does something differently. Don't you lie! And you give the child a whipping for lying when he's just heard you lie. What would we say? Train up a child. Bring them up in the way you ought to go. I don't, as a preacher of the gospel, have the responsibility to say to others what they ought to do. And I myself, not even doing it, I ask you, how many people have you brought to worship? How many people have you taught the Word of God? Well, we want our children to be taught the Word of the Lord. We want to preach and teach and do all that we possibly can. But what's the result of what you've been doing? I ask you this morning to consider that you have a great responsibility as a father, as a teacher, as a preacher, as an elder, as a deacon, to the responsibilities that God encumbers upon you, and make sure that we do exactly like God told the Israelites. Hear! Listen! Pay attention! Look at yourself first. I have to do that all the time. All of us do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but then bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't let them be discouraged. And we as preachers and teachers and elders, those of you that teach classes, you stand before small children, you have a grave responsibility. They're looking at you. Mothers and daddies and grandmothers and grandfathers, they're looking at you. What do they say whenever they do? Are you and I training up the child in the way that they should go? Now, based on these scriptures, we learned that we should train up our children the way of the Lord so they grow up to be Christians. I love the statement made here that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. There's a lot of controversy about what that verse means. I take it for what it says. If you impound and you instruct and you do everything you can with your children in a way that they ought to go, and when they raise up and they decide not to worship the Lord for a while, they leave. You're praying for them. You want them to come back. Just pray, God, one of these days they'll remember what you showed them. One of these days they'll say, I know what I'm going to do. Like the prodigal son, get up and say, I'm going home. That's the hope I have. That's the hope I hope you have with children that no longer walk faithfully with the Lord. The word child could be used, and I thought this was real, real interesting. The first letter, let it be Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Make sure your children know that. Make sure they see you believe that. Holiness, I mean, don't do anything that would disdain them, hurt them. We must teach and train our children to be holy. Because Peter says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all holy conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the I, instruct. 2 Timothy 2. L, love. Let it be seen, God is love. Discipline, yes. He that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him be chastened him many times. Proverbs 13:24, the same statement again. In Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 23:13. Don't withhold correction from him. Yes, if thou beatest with the rod, he shall not die. You know, some of you have told me that some of your children have played church. And you've told me sometimes how that when they get together, one of them would say, I never will forget, one young boy, mother said, play at church, and said, they got them all together and said, I'm going to be Brother Guy. I'm going to stand up there and shout a little bit. Yeah, it's good to see children. They imitate us. What a wonderful thing it is to serve God with children. Are you training your child in the way that he should go? Train up a child. They're little copycats. Saw these two illustrations. It's like the young student of child behavior who frequently delivered a lecture called 10 Commandments for Parents Who Got Married and Became a Father. The title of the lecture was altered to 10 Hints for Parents. Another child arrived, then the lecture became Some Suggestions for Parents. The third child was born. The lecture stopped lecturing. It was over. Train up a child. Your child. Child that God's given you and given me, tell them you love them, then show them. I can tell you from experience, the day when they have to pack up and go to college, 18 probably years old, leaving home. Boy, that's a toughie. Really, most of the time, they don't ever come back home. You keep that bedroom all right there, that's theirs. But you know and I know, age makes a big difference. Children, your children, the children that God has given to us. Just being a Christian is the greatest thing you can ever do for a child. I mean one that's really, honestly, sincerely loving the Lord. Are you a Christian this morning? If not, why not? Wouldn't it be terrible to go once your father or your mother died and to know that their body is put back into the earth and then not to have hope of seeing them again? Training up a child who loves God because the mother and the father loved the child as they walk with the Lord. I'm asking you this morning, have you been faithful to the Lord and serving Him? If not, what are you going to do about it? I hope and pray. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus this morning, here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? I used this illustration many years ago. Up north when the snow had come, the Father had gone down to the barn and he put footprints in the snow. Yes, in a little while this young boy hollered out at him as he was coming from the house, "Daddy, wait for me." And you know what that little boy was doing? He was making a step in every step in that snow that his father had made. If your children follow in your steps, will that lead them home? Will they have a home to be remembered of a mother and a daddy that truly taught them by example? If you're not a Christian, you need to be. If you're a Christian, you've fallen by the wayside. You don't want your children to be in that kind of condition. Today, the Lord is calling you, inviting you. Won't you come and obey Him? Well, together we stand.